Welcome. We trust you will be encouraged by this message from Mahesh Chavda by Chavda Ministries International. Real love, real people, real power.
Wow, did you feel that? I was wanting to hop and skip and dance.
Hallelujah.
That's so good. And in a moment, then it's after I'm through sharing a little bit, I want you to come back and take up that song some more. I was just, whew. I felt barriers, any kind of barriers were being crashed as the Holy Ghost was coming down. I really, give the big clap for these guys, okay? For Dennis and company and all the worship team, we bless you, we bless you. Thank you, Lord. And I was, as we were worshiping, I could see angels here tonight. And I'm praying for those who are joining us on the web. We are going live to the nations right now. So know that your worship, your prayer, our gathering here, nations are being fed. It's amazing. And as you do so, let this apply to you, those who are watching us on the web, that this vision is for you also. That you are partakers of the glory. And part of the glory, I saw angels from the glory coming as we were worshiping, and the Lord had like beautiful containers full of oil that were being poured into you and reminded me of what happens during the Feast of Tabernacles in Jerusalem. One of the things that happened was that they would have in the days of the Old Testament worship in the temple, that they would have these giant lamps that went way up into the air. And there would have been about exact between 55, 60 feet. I may be wrong exactly, but about that. They were way up high, and then they would manage to pour oil in it. And the lamps that were lit in the evening, they could be seen all over from the seven hills of Jerusalem. I went the last time Bonnie and I went, there were several TBN wanted to interview us, and then God TV. So they were all in TBN, beautiful Trinity Broadcast Station had their studios overlooking the hills. There are seven hills surrounding, they're called mountains. If you're familiar with Rockies, then you would say, no, these are hills. But anyway, but they are gorgeous, beautiful structures. I mean, seven hills. And then you look down. So TBN Studios, as we were being interviewed there, they just didn't build a wall. It was just overlooked the hill. So you went. They greeted us and right there with the cameras, all of that. But the background was the hills of Jerusalem. So you could look down the hill. And so you could just picture this. You're on top of a hill, and there in the distance, you can see the beautiful lamps being lit. And this is where Jesus declared in the Gospel of John, verse 8, I am the light of the world. So he is the true light. So may the light come on us tonight. But I saw in this that tonight it was happening for you, that as the oil was coming on you individually and as a family, it says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. And we have always said in unity, which is great, but it's dwell together. Say together. So not isolated, but it's together that the pleasantness of the Lord comes over you. And it is pleasant for him, but he will make it pleasant for you. And it is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garment. So it is beautiful oil with the fragrant incense perfumes of glory coming down on you. And it comes down generously, and it is like as refreshing as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing for life evermore. Sake, he commands the blessing. Put your hands out. Say, I receive by faith the God's commanded blessings. They're mine. They belong to my children, my children's children. And the blessings are coming. Healing, abundance, no debts, enemies defeated. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Hallelujah. Land that houses that I never built are mine. Vineyards I never planted are mine. I receive the blessings of Abraham. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Say yes, Lord. And I really believe that tonight as we are gathered, that healing among the oil that's coming is healing. For you, physically, but for others, loved ones. And we are seeing, I feel like, people who need ears, hearing restored, that the Lord is restoring that, that is a cancer being healed tonight. We thank you, and our friends especially, bless, they are watching, I believe, who flew in last week from Haiti. We bless you tonight and pray the glory of the watch, and they watch the watch in Haiti. Their leaders there, we bless them, and that is healing for your house. We claim it tonight that God is giving the commanded blessing, and that oil is touching you tonight. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're going to touch on the watch focus in a moment, and I want to amplify that and the date that we are, this month, part of its significance. I just wanted to share about it more from the historical perspective. But as I saw the angels here, I mean, I just could sense them. And this was a prophetic vision that he was giving of what was happening in the glory realm over us and that we receive by faith. But that this is, it is, you are being rejuvenated as you come in corporate togetherness. And there is a blessing, and I pray more would get this revelation, because it has to be a revelation where people will, especially like even like in Jerusalem, and look at the Western Wall sometimes, the live coverage of the Western Wall. It'll bless you, especially on certain days, like the what we pass through, the high holidays of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and then the Feast of Tabernacles, and as Katie mentioned, Sukkot, which is the joy of the word of the Torah. And as you make it meaningful, see, for this church, a lot of churches, and I'm not criticizing, but I'm just saying that we miss where we are not recognizing these special important days to the Lord that he himself put on his calendar in the Bible. They mean something. It's important to him. Anything important to God is important to us. So whatever we make important, God's important things make it important for us, then what is important for you, God will make it important for him. All right? Do you see that? And some people think, well, Lord, here I am in the prayer and prayer. But they miss the fact that become part of the big things of God, and God will make things happen, the big things you need in your life. All right? Say big things. So we are participating. As you come, the people who help in the worship, you are helping some of the important thing, the thing that's important in God's house and for God. And he will make it important for his life. Then as you make His thing's important for you. Your thing will become important to him. So there is something is cooking tonight, and I wish more would recognize that as they come, like take advantage of this corporate worship. You know, as long as God gives us the ability and the people who are there that can come to worship the King of Glory, God says, believe me, you are going to be blessed. And there was a particular, for those who watch regularly, watch and pray, years ago we found there would be a watch angel that would be released over you and your children that will watch over your kids. And that is part of the benefit. And I'm not saying do it only for the benefit, but hey, I'll take the benefits. Say, I will take the benefits. Yeah, amen. So, I am here. You are here. May that blessing come on you. But I wish more would realize that as I would watch, as you go, the nearest thing for seeing what's happening in Jerusalem is go on the little, this live cover now through internet, that you can see people right there live at this moment praying at the Western Wall. And you realize something is happening and I want to make it important for my life. But in that context then, the cultural force is, it says, and Apostle Paul said about in the last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasure. It is in sense, you find, and then the social media has its advantages, but there are also disadvantages because it is an artificial, just like in certain things, in some ways of behaving, our society, the government has become an artificial father. And it shouldn't be. We should have real fathers and mothers. Government can never be. It can pretend to be and try to meet people's, try to help, but that's not a father being there or a mother. Just in that sense, there is a counterfeit. Like social media is a counterfeit. I mean, it tells that it's a good tool if you make it an adjunct, if it becomes the real thing for you. Because the real thing is being together with real people and seeing what's on their hearts. What is happening for you? Please pray for my son who is going through difficulty. This, and you pray for real people. And you touch them and you lay hands on them. There is no substitute for that. In the same way, if you can get here and be physically watching and praying, and as we worship then together, something is happening. There is a kind of electricity that you have that you are taking advantage of, that automatically things will start happening that will bless you. For example, you'll find that as you worship, if you're around the world, it's just the spirit of the world. It's nothing bad that you have done. But automatically, like Paul in the Word of God says, this will happen in the last days. People will turn inward. So it's more self-exaltation rather than God exaltation. And, I mean, so there is a way, there are almost several steps by which culturally, physically, you know, societally, there will be a degradation. And yet in the middle of it, God says, arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. And as I've said before, our mentor, teacher, Derek Prince would say, this specially was written for the last days. So it is in this hour that this word. And what does it say in for the opposite of, well, Paul said this will be, there'll be in the last days denigration of people, the character of people, isolation, etc., etc. In the same way, in the midst of it, God says, arise, shine. The glory of the Lord will rise over you. So there is a distinct people that God is raising up. You're a part of it that's going to shine with the glory. That people give hope and encouragement and a living word from the presence of the glory because you have connected with the glory of God. So you're connecting. Say, I am connecting with the presence of God. Hallelujah. And I so appreciate Eliza helping us blow the trumpet tonight. And we're going to draw because in honor of the Feast of Tabernacles, we will blow some more, being the concluding seasons of the Feast of Trumpets. That's not bad. Praise God. I think God loves the sound of the shofar, that the walls of Jericho come down, that anything standing against the people of God, against breakthrough, that as we blasted that trumpet, that walls were falling, that enmities were falling, that division was falling down, that addiction was falling in this area, Charlotte and Fort Mill and Rock Hill and all of these regions in the Carolinas, that God is setting the captives free, opening the eyes of the blind. And that's one of the things I saw as the oil was coming, that our eyes were opening. You'll find that as the spirit of the age will make us, it is like cloudiness will come on our spiritual vision, as you lose vision, you'll become discouraged. Without a vision, the people perish. So I want to tell you, get refreshed in your vision. We are getting a fresh vision for each of our individual futures and then for the corporate vision. But Bonnie and I were talking about this is thousands of churches right now are in a season where we are also recognizing the anniversary of 500th anniversary of the Reformation and what happened and how we can take it forward. Say forward. So God does not want us to remain static, but go forward. And the church goes forward corporately. And as you go forward corporately, then it happens to you individually. Often people think it's, if I do it individually, this will happen. Of course, we individually accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But so many things happen corporately. And so in that corporate nature, then in this time, as we worship corporately, the fogginess in front of us will clear. And you see that example, by the way, in Psalm 73, you'll find somewhat comfort that even some of the greatest leaders you consider spiritual leaders have gone through their challenges. And when I was starting, I remember 40 years ago, 35 years ago, that my name and Bonnie's name, but for us, the name, the healing and miracles and deliverance would take place. So often I would be called to the homes of some of the most wonderful spiritual leaders. But I want to tell you that they get attacked themselves, and the devil tries to attack them. And I had to come and help, often be like, like 911. Please, we need prayer, come. And I cannot talk. We never talk publicly about individual things that happen unless we were called, given permission. They themselves talked about it. But here is King David going through this, and he says, As for me, verse 2, Psalm 73, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish where I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They're not troubled as other men, neither are they plagued. Now suddenly, this is the man of God, and he starts getting jealous of those who are getting blessed, and he says, why is that happening? And what is that? And self-pity is coming on him, and he's fogginess. See, this is, so if it happens to you, don't worry. It happens to the best of people. And they're being blessed. The eyes stand out with fatness. They're corrupt, speak wickedly. And, I mean, he just goes on and on. And how does God know? These are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. And whatever I do, if I cleanse my heart in vain, he gets more and more inward. I wash my hands in innocency. When I thought to know this, verse 16, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood the end. And this is the sanctuary of God. This is where the corporate gathering of God's people is. And if we get isolated, say isolated, because that's an important attack and a spiritual force of darkness that attacks people. And they get isolated, and then more and more they will get inward. And some of the time, maybe social media, kind of, they will try to connect a little bit. They are more and more isolated from human people, from human touch, from human fellowship, and most important, from human corporate worship and prayer and praise. And so the moment he goes, whether it's corporate worship and prayer, comes into the house of God, into the sanctuary, then I understood their end. Clarity comes. And he's, you know, I mean, if you out there, it's like isolated. And that's what part of the reason I said, here is, I mean, and this is awesome. Believe me, Bonnie and I get to travel all over. And we have some of the best worship team and music. And I mean, it's so great. It's anointed. And I would say, if I was a person who had practiced in the violin, for example, I'm just giving an example, or I'm a good trumpet player, I would say, if I'm free any Friday night, I'm going to be here in the house of the Lord playing my violin, playing my trumpet. We used to, I remember praying for, this was about 37, 38 years ago. Some of you may have met Jim Croft, my friend, and we would travel. We went to Harvard University in 1974. And part of the reason I remember is that it was the premiere of The Godfather, and we took a little break and went to see The Godfather. Terrible. I repent, Lord. But anyway, but we were on a mission. We were on a mission from God. And the most unusual people gave their lives, and in a sense, in a most glorious way, the Holy Spirit would touch them. And one, now I can speak freely because no one would know now, but this is almost 40 years later. But one of them, there were this man who was, how many of you have seen Godfather and the Luca Brasi? You know who Luca Brasi was? The enforcer. I won't go anymore. Man who knew a lot of darkness. And he got converted. He came to the Lord in our meeting. And so he's a big man. Mafia. I mean, he was. He opened his wallet, and he would carry wads of thousands of dollars of cash in his pocket. And one of the things I remember, he's pulling out the wads and say, "This, I didn't get it right," and gave it, and we gave it to the church where we were at. But we talked about that. You know, sometime you need to get water baptized. He looked at us and said, "Why not now?" I looked at Jim, and he looked at me. And I said, "Okay." We went to someone's house. We said, "Can we use your bathtub?" Because that man, I mean, he needed as fast as possible get everything done for him. So, okay, we're going to baptize you. We didn't explain everything. You know, we had, so let's get him. He wants to get baptized. So we filled this ancient, it was in Boston, ancient bathtub with water. I said, get ready. We'll wept. So he didn't know anything about it. He came in. This is about 6'7", 6'8" man. Giant. He's the enforcer for the mafia. Really was. Now he has repented. Came in. "I'm ready to get baptized." I said, get undressed and come. He took it seriously. So he was so in this spiritual thing, so innocent, that he took us at our word. "Get undressed," he said. And, you know, I thought he would keep his underwear on and all that. No. I saw him like his mommy saw him on the day he was born. And you can confirm it with Jim. We knew we could not laugh because he didn't have a place to put the gun somewhere, but anyway, he could have shot us. Anyway, no, he really, and then we baptized him in that big tub. But anyway, a lot of things happened at that time. I don't know why I told you about that, but anyway, we had some adventures. Let's get back to corporate worship. But when people were, you know, when we went, I remember that where we were in Boston, one of the men was one of the greatest violin players in the world, and he was part of the Boston Symphony. Now, he was separate from that other incident I talked about, but when he got baptized in the Holy Spirit, he couldn't do enough, and whenever he had any free time, he would show up at anywhere he could exalt the name of Jesus and play his violin and any time of worship. Wherever there was worship, he would be there because he loved God and had been transformed by Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And that's what I believe, that the spirit of this age that we come against and bind is the spirit of selfhood and self-worship. And it is more to do with self. And then it isolates, and the blessing of God, they find themselves get defeated. It's not enough to just get saved. It's good, therefore, then, to come into the disciplines of the living God so you mature and become a profitable son and a profitable daughter. Anyway, so there are a lot of things as we come together that happen to us as we come into part of it is awaken. Arise, shine, for your light has come. Clarity. The fogginess goes away. And then you find as I was reading about Martin Luther and some of these guys about the Reformation, one of the statements of Martin Luther was, he said that basically, I don't feel God when I'm in my own home. But when I come to church, I really feel God. And I said, if that is Martin Luther saying it, how much more we need to be around worship. It does something. As we worship, as we praise, as we have the Word of God around us. And you find, for example, also like Elijah, as he gets isolated from people, and that's part of it, is a spirit of witchcraft that's active. Jezebel was actively seeking Elijah's death, and literally he gets attacked by the demonic principality of witchcraft. And he gets into depression. He gets isolated, depressed, and God has to visit him personally and say, "Hey, mister," and slaps him on the head or something, saying, "Get your act together. But I'm all alone, and I just..." And God says, "I have got 10,000 more there waiting to serve the Lord. Now get out there and stop getting into self-pity and depression." So when we get isolated, depression is something that will attack. Spirit of witchcraft will attack us. So I am so glad. And Bonnie has just flown in from Scotland. And I would say, "Don't you want to rest?" I said, "No, I get my refreshing from the watch." So she has given to all over Scotland, but she came back here without much rest at all so that she can get refreshed. This is the place. I thank God, thank the worship team, but I pray of the word out there, if there is a young man out there, a young woman who plays this instrument, that instrument, or they can sing, that they are more than welcome to come and give of themselves and be used by the glory of God. So it is corporate worship that moves us also. There is a move it's in this kind of thing, get-togethers for me, that it says, as we behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed. Beholding Jesus together, we all are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. So something is happening. Say, something is happening. And you are being transformed by the glory. So it won't be, it's together. Say, together. So we all beholding as in a mirror. It's not an individual experience. It is a corporate experience. We all are being transformed from glory to glory. And we learn to be able to be social creatures and know how we to conduct ourselves and love on each other and therefore break all the shadows and stuff that we seem to get, you know, on the journey of life. Anyway, I felt like I wanted to share this important, the more we address it, and I believe quite a bit of it, the isolation and feeling like, well, I'm not being used, all that stuff comes from the spirit of witchcraft. If it can get Elijah, it'll get you. And the more we are together, the more you'll come under the shield of protection of the glory of God and the electricity of being together as a community of God. Anyway, our watch focus, by the way, I did want to mention this, that this is... that it's important that tonight I did want to say it's important that some of our countrymen are really under distress where these horrible fires are going on in Northern California. How many of you have heard of these fires? And they are still going on. And even yesterday and today, the firemen are actively. So there are thousands, I think 8,000 firemen. Well, it says more than 8,000 firefighters are engaged in battling fierce wildfires throughout Sonoma, Napa, and Mendocino County, Mendocino counties, Northern California. Charred rubble and clouds of smoke are all that are left. More than 191,000 acres that have been destroyed in the fires. At least 33 people are confirmed dead, and hundreds more are missing. Pray for the thousands of men and women, firefighters and rescue agencies, as they stand on the front lines to bring the fires under control. Pray for strength, protection, and endurance. Pray for the Lord to give grace to stop the fires and a shift in the weather that will help aid the firefighters. Pray for the thousands of evacuees. Continue to pray for the many who have lost their loved ones, their homes, and their properties. You know, and that thing of, we pray superly, we can agree together for this. And we say, remember, this is one of the places that the glory manifested when we prayed. And I said to the storm, shalom. And that whole stormy weather that was going to pull down the tent stopped instantly over this region. And that from that I got the word, we are storm warriors. And we can pray against the firestorm that is over these regions in California. Part of it, and there was a story, in fact, they made a movie out of this, I believe it's coming, of firefighters who were in the middle fighting. And as they were fighting, the winds changed and started blowing the wrong way. And really, I forget now how many firefighters, could have been approximately 30, I forget now which particular incident these people, where they made the movie. But there is extreme danger for these firefighters who get right in the middle of the fires. Yeah. So we pray God's covering on that. There was a story from
Mahesh.
Yeah.
Just because you brought that up, I heard from Benny just a few minutes ago, Johnson, that they're predicting strong winds tomorrow, and they're asking specifically for prayers against that.
Wow. And Bill and Benny Johnson, our precious friends and wonderful, wonderful teachers, they live in Northern California. And so we want to pray, Lord, tonight, send the right kind of weather. Pray that the winds will calm down in the name of Jesus. And people will be sheltered. We pray together for the right conditions. We say to the fire storm, stop, shalom. May the Lord help the firefighters. May supernatural intervention come that the fires would stop in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. It says in Isaiah 43:2, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned. And the flame shall not consume you. Isn't that something? That's a beautiful scripture. And this was just, I think this may have been either last night or a couple of nights ago, I think. Here is the article I read from USA Today that a California couple spent 6 hours huddled together in a cold pool, either last night or the night before, as wildfire burned their neighborhood to the ground. Jan Pasco, who's 65, and her husband, John, who is 70, were at their home in Santa Rosa on Sunday evening when they noticed smoke in the distance. Jan told the time. She checked her phone, and the blaze was miles away, and that there was no evacuation order, so they went to bed. Hours later, their daughter called, told them to evacuate. They grabbed a few items and hopped into their car, but found they were surrounded by the fire and the flames, and there was no escape. It was a wall of flames, Jan said, with no option. Jan called 911 at 12:40 in the a.m. They said to the 911, "Hey, we're going to get into the neighbor's pool," she told the dispatcher. The water in the pool was cold, and the couple waited on the edge as they watched the flames coming nearer and nearer. The heat was quite unbearable, John told the Times. And he turned to his wife and said, "It's time to jump in now." The couple told the Times they submerged themselves in the pool and used wet T-shirts to protect their faces from embers when they came up for air. The water was freezing, and Jen said she thought someone would rescue them, but no one came. "We just kept going under. That was the only way to survive. And I kept saying, how long does it take for a house to burn down?" To keep warm, the couple huddled together in the 4-foot water. After about 6 hours later, as daylight broke, the worst of the fire seemed to be over, and the couple emerged from the pool, Times reported. Their house, all their belongings were gone, but they were alive. It was 55 degrees outside, and they were soaking wet, covered in ash. And so this is part of the reason, you see, there is a death toll, about, 33 people right now. And around 8:30 Monday morning, they were able to tell their daughter that they had survived the wildfire. And the daughter started screaming. The first thing Mom said to me was, "I feel so bad I wasn't able to get hold of you." And the daughter said, "You're apologizing to me after all you've been through." That's typical mommy thing. "Sorry, you couldn't phone." Yeah, they were submerged in the pool. But this is just a personal story of what people suddenly get. They're not dummies. They're trying to be as smart as they possible, but before you know it, the fire is all around. And that was such, I thought, wow, that a word from the Lord or something saying, I wouldn't normal have said, I guess if I was in their situation, I would have found some kind of way. But jumping into the pool was truly I'm so glad that that couple survived. And we just bless right now supernatural intervention for all the people who are, even right now, are going through that. The other part I wanted to point out to you, I want to have time to, God wanted to give us time to worship and prayer some more in the watch tonight, but I don't know how many of you saw that on the 7th October. How many? About 6 days, 7 days ago, that a million Polish people gathered in approximately 40,000 spots, different areas on the borders of Poland. More than a million. This is newspapers. Always try to lower the number of Christians involved. So, but the Poles are serious about prayer and worship. And so it was the Polish church, Catholics and evangelicals. It's mostly a Catholic nation, but there are quite a number of evangelicals also. And so a million of them gathered for their nation and for Europe. And I was going to read out, but right now it's not necessary, I feel. But the concern, what they said is the spirit of Islam is trying to pull out the Christian roots from Europe. And they're concerned about their land, and they're praying. So they gathered, and for hours, October 7th, they prayed on the borders of their land, of Poland, and prayed they would have no invasion of these radical Islamic terrorists who have been trying to come across the borders in different parts of Europe, and asking the Lord to protect them and to protect the Christian roots of belief. And then on that then, there were notable, it was October 7th. Why? Because in 1571, the Europe, October 7th, 1571, so about 446 years ago, there was a major battle that saved Christian Europe. It was the most important battle that took place that kept most of our ancestors Christian rather than, otherwise they would have been Islamic. And the Ottoman Empire, the Islamic Empire basically, was invading Europe. And there were the, as you read what they would do, this battle is called the Battle of Lepanto, L-E-P-A-N-T-O. And it is important that we be aware of this history for several reasons, because it's like history, if we're not careful, history tries to repeat itself in different versions, but the shadows come back. Because these are spiritual forces of darkness. And the only people who have an authority pushback against demonic forces is the church. And it's your prayer and mine together. So this is the Battle of Lepanto. Say the Battle of Lepanto. And so the Ottoman, summarizing thousands of pieces of detail. But as you read, you have to protect yourself, because when the things that ISIS did in the last 2-3 years, that you saw them putting Christians in burning fire or slitting their throats and all that, that's the normal mode of behavior of this tradition, and that's how they would do. If they would capture and people would surrender, they would all be cut into pieces, literally, and all kinds of horrible things. And yet, when they decided, the Christians decided, even though they did not have enough numbers of people or ways to protect themselves, they decided, we're going to unite together. And that was one of the first miracles that they were able. They were so divided. That's one of the demonic things that the devil does, is keep us disunited, dismembered, and it will try to throw division often so people cannot have community and be together. God commands a blessing where people dwell together in unity. Finally, and among them, I mean, in that, the few years before, there were some of the most, not a criticism on the Catholic Church, but the popes that came in were very unpopish. But suddenly a very, very godly pope came, and he had a vision to keep Europe Christian. And he was able to, with other leaders, bring together some of the few forces. And the Ottoman Empire had, basically, they had to have Malta and the areas around Greece, all of that, had to be protected. The shipping was important. And Ottoman Empire, the emperor, had hundreds of ships. And the Christian people were able to gather a few hundred ships. And the Pope asked people all across Europe to pray. And he opened every church where in around Rome and wherever the word could be sent. Pray all day. Pray. Pray. And so they prayed. They were praying all day. Lord, intervene. It looked impossible for the Christians to have victory. But this is at the Battle of Lepanto, you'll find that supernaturally the glory came. And the Lord literally turned the wind in such a way that the wind was at the back of the Christian ships and pushed them forward and totally discombobulated the Ottoman Empire ship, where they could not function, and the Christians were able to defeat. And in fact, they captured it. It was from the Christian side, there was especially these 54 little ships that were able to be guided by the wind, and they came and attacked the Islamic army ships, and they destroyed 300 Turkish ships, captured, and 30,000 Ottoman Empire soldiers were slain, and the Lord gave a great victory to the representative of Christian Europe. And by the way, some of the ones who like literature, how many of you saw the musical Man of La Mancha? I am the Man of La Mancha. And what was the other song that we love from? Oh, The Impossible. How many of you heard the song The Impossible? To give the impossible dream. That comes from the story of Don Quixote. Why do I talk about that? Because among the Christian soldiers who fought on the side of the Christians was Cervantes, who lost his whole one arm, left hand, was sliced. He functioned the rest of his life with one arm gone. With that right arm, he wrote the first known major novel in Europe called Don Quixote. It's a side issue. You get so educated here in all these wonderful little facts. But I believe that as I saw the pictures of these hundreds of thousands of Polish people in such a sincere way, you should see the picture. It just moves your heart to see all men and women, many of these older ladies holding their rosaries and praying, but saying, Lord, bless our land. Lord, prevent, again, the waves of Islamic waves that are coming. Let Europe not be lost. Let our country not be lost. And that's my prayer. Lord, save America. Let our country not be given up to wickedness, powers of darkness. And in the same way as here, part of the reason that could not unite all the countries was a lot of them did trading with the Ottoman Empire, and they did not want to battle for their own selves because they had commercial interests, and money was the big thing. It's not, the story hasn't changed. But anyway, by the way, about 100 years later, approximately, the Polish leader, John Sobieski, when there was another major invasion of Islamic invasion. It was the Polish warriors who saved Europe at the gates of Vienna. So that's some wonderful history things where God intervened supernaturally to keep Christianity blossoming. And I believe that this is where the God wants to help us triumph also in all our endeavors, that He will give us. There is a song in the midst of it. Do you know what the first song written in the Bible is? Quiz. The next time I ask you, you will have an answer and I can give you a Twinkie. The first song is Exodus 15. Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord as Pharaoh is defeated. An overwhelming demonic army coming against the people of God. And the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day. It says, this is then the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before them, stood behind them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to one, and it gave light by night to the other. So the one did not come near the other all that night. And then that's when Moses and the children sing this song. I will sing to the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise Him. My Father's God, and I will exalt Him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is His name. See, there are times we must battle, okay, against the forces of darkness. All of this thing about political correctness and kumbaya and peace, one of the titles of the Lord is, He is against darkness and evil. The Lord is a man of war. And He wants to protect His people. Your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, has dashed the enemy in pieces. And in the greatness of Your excellence, You have overthrown those who rose against You. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. You blew Your wind. The sea covered them that sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like You, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like You, O glorious in holiness? Fearful in praises, doing wonders. Hallelujah. All right, let's all stand. I want the worship team to come back. This is from Exodus 15. We'll raise our hands. Shake yourself. Hallelujah. Glory. Let the oil come over you. Say, oil is coming. And I'm getting the victory. I'm getting the roar. I'm going to roar against the enemy. Fear is going. Isolation is going. Depression is going. I am getting the victory for myself, my family, my finances. God is giving us miracles, victory. And we say, who is like You, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like You, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is doing wonders and miracles for you. Now turn to someone else. Say, signs, wonders, and breakthrough. Glory to God. Now we are loaded. We want to pray some more. Amen. Dennis, are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Glory to God. Come up here, some of you. Let's kind of sing like Moses did. Hallelujah. They stood up and they sang. And then Miriam, who I never come up closer and never say you're too old, okay? There is a thing that kind of lying spirit that would lie to us in our culture. And often, forgive me for repeating this, but people think, okay, I'm 65. Now I'm ready to go to Florida, retire, and die. And no, our ministry is just beginning. All right? Hallelujah. So Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, takes up the song and takes up the timbrel. Amen. Bonnie and I brought our own timbrel. Hallelujah. Can I borrow it for a moment? Hallelujah. So, and she took up the timbrel and led about 2 million people in worship. That's an awesome. And God gave them victory, defeated the enemy by remember, it's the glory. Say the glory. That the pillar of fire by night, the cloud by day. And he is going before you. Become part of the equation. He is vibrating over you, over your children. The fogginess is going tonight from all of us. We are led. I am not confused. I am not confused.
Not confused.
I am led by the cloud by day and the fiery pillar at night. The glory, Holy Spirit, is with us. And with Miriam, we say, sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider has thrown into the sea. Glory! Woo! Yay! Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. God of Abraham, God of Isaac. Hallelujah. Come, cloudy pillar. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message. To order more great resources by Mahesh Chavda, visit us at chavdaministries.org. For a full catalog of our products, you can call us at 1-800-730-6264. God bless you.